Section 2. Government and Society.
If you were there. You have just been elected as a government official in Rome. Your duty is to represent the plebeians, the common people. You hold office for only 1 year, but you have one important power. You can stop laws from being passed. Now, city leaders are proposing a law that will hurt the plebeians. If you stop the new law, it will hurt your future in politics. If you let it pass, it will hurt the people you are supposed to protect. Will you let the new law pass? Why? Or why not?
Building background. Government in Rome was often a balancing act. Like the politician above, leaders had to make compromises and risk the anger of other officials to keep the people happy. To keep anyone from gaining too much power, the Roman government divided power among many different officials. Roman government. When the plebeians complained about Rome's government in the 400s BC, the city's leaders knew they had to do something. If the people stayed unhappy, they might rise up and overthrow the whole government. To calm the angry plebeians, the patricians made some changes to Rome's government. For example, they created new offices that could only be held by plebeians. The people who held these offices protected the plebeians' rights and interests. Gradually, the distinctions between patricians and plebeians began to disappear, but that took a very long time. As a result of the changes the patricians made, Rome developed a tripartite government, or a government with three parts. Each part had its own responsibilities and duties. To fulfill its duties, each part of the government had its own powers, rights, and privileges. Magistrates. The first part of Rome's government was made up of elected officials, or magistrates. The two most powerful magistrates in Rome were called consuls. The consuls were elected each year to run the city and lead the army. There were two consuls so that no one person would be too powerful. Below the consuls were other magistrates. Rome had many different types of magistrates. Each was elected for 1 year and had his own duties and powers. Some were judges. Others managed Rome's finances or organized games and festivals. Senate. The second part of Rome's government was the Senate. The Roman Senate was a council of wealthy and powerful Romans that advised the city's leaders. It was originally created to advise Rome's kings. After the kings were gone, the Senate continued to meet to advise consuls. Unlike magistrates, senators, members of the Senate, held office for life. By the time the Republic was created, the Senate had 300 members. At first, most senators were patricians. But as time passed, many wealthy plebeians became senators as well. Because magistrates became senators after completing their terms in office, most didn't want to anger the Senate and risk their future jobs. As time passed, the Senate became more powerful. It gained influence over magistrates and took control of the city's finances. By 200 BC, the Senate had great influence in Rome's government. Assemblies and tribunes. The third part of Rome's government, the part that protected the common people, had two branches. The first branch was made up of assemblies. Both patricians and plebeians took part in these assemblies. Their primary job was to elect the magistrates who ran the city of Rome. The second branch was made up of a group of elected officials called tribunes. Elected by the plebeians, tribunes had the ability to veto or prohibit actions by other officials. Veto means I forbid in Latin, the Roman's language. This veto power made tribunes very powerful in Rome's government. To keep them from abusing their power, each tribune remained in office only 1 year. Civic duty. Rome's government would not have worked without the participation of the people. People participated in the government because they felt it was their civic duty or their duty to the city. That civic duty included doing what they could to make sure the city prospered. For example, they were expected to attend assembly meetings and to vote in elections. Voting in Rome was a complicated process, and not everyone was allowed to do it. Those who could, however, were expected to take part in all elections. Wealthy and powerful citizens also felt it was their duty to hold public office to help run the city. In return for their time and commitment, these citizens were respected and admired by other Romans. Checks and balances. In addition to limiting terms of office, the Romans put other restrictions on their leaders' power. They did this by giving government officials the ability to restrict the powers of other officials. For example, one consul could block the actions of the other. Laws proposed by the Senate had to be approved by magistrates and ratified by assemblies. We call these methods to balance power checks and balances. Checks and balances keep any one part of a government from becoming stronger or more influential than the others. Checks and balances made Rome's government very complicated. Sometimes quarrels arose when officials had different ideas or opinions. When officials worked together, however, Rome's government was strong and efficient, as one Roman historian noted. In unison or together, they are a match for any and all emergencies, the result being that it is impossible to find a constitution that is better constructed. For whenever some common external danger should come upon them and should compel, or force, them to band together in counsel, or thought, and in action, the power of their state becomes so great that nothing that is required is neglected or ignored. Polybius, from the Constitution of the Roman Republic. Written laws keep order. Rome's officials were responsible for making the city's laws and making sure that people followed them. At first, these laws weren't written down. The only people who knew all the laws were the patricians who had made them. Many people were unhappy with the situation. They did not want to be punished for breaking laws they didn't even know existed. As a result, they began to call for Rome's laws to be written down and made accessible to everybody. Rome's first written law code was produced in 450 BC on 12 bronze tables, or tablets. These tables were displayed in the Forum, Rome's public meeting place. Because of how it was displayed, this code was called the Law of the 12 Tables. Over time, Rome's leaders passed many new laws. Throughout their history, though, the Romans looked to the Law of the 12 Tables as a symbol of Roman law and of their rights as Roman citizens. The Roman Forum. The Roman Forum, the place where the Law of the 12 Tables was kept, was the heart of the city of Rome. It was the site of important government buildings and temples. Government and religion were only part of what made the Forum so important, though. It was also a popular meeting place for Roman citizens. People met there to shop, chat, and gossip. The Forum lay in the center of Rome, between two major hills. On one side was the Palatine Hill, where Rome's richest people lived. Across the Forum was the Capitoline Hill, where Rome's grandest temple stood. Because of this location, city leaders could often be found in or near the Forum, mingling with the common people. These leaders used the Forum as a speaking area, delivering speeches to the crowds. But the Forum also had attractions for people not interested in speeches. Various shops lined the open square, and fights between gladiators were sometimes held there. Public ceremonies were commonly held in the Forum as well. As a result, the Forum was usually packed with people. Summary and preview. In this section, you read about the basic structure of Roman government. In the next section, you'll see how that government changed as Rome's territory grew and its influence expanded. But first, review the main ideas of this section Then, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions.